The word amen means to come into agreement. And we are coming into agreement when we believe in the word of the Lord that says that He is for us. He is not against us. If you agree with God's word and His blessing, honk your horns. That's right. May His presence go before you. May you just, even in this moment, know and feel the blessing of the Lord. His presence here, His power at work throughout this land, throughout our vehicles, in our lives. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our passage this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. Let me read to you Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Let us hear the word of the Lord again. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This passage of Scripture is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. So I'd like you to join me as we just picture Jesus sitting along a hillside overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And there, among the flowers and the grass, He gave a sermon to a large gathering of people. And we don't know how many there were. In my mind, I picture about a group of 200 people, and they were His disciples. But also in that group were potential disciples. And Jesus knew that here were people that needed to be taught the character and nature of His kingdom. Because Jesus is a king. He is the king above all kings and the Lord above all lords. And He came to establish a kingdom that is very different than the kingdom of this world. And as Pastor Lionel mentioned earlier this morning, that this world is very different than the kingdom that God came to establish, where His word is the law of the land, as we learn and learn to obey it and live in understanding of it and practicing it every day through obedience. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And let me tell you about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God looks and acts like Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is the way, the only way, the only truth, the only way to the Father. The kingdom of God not only looks and acts like Jesus, but like Calvary, like God's eternal triune love. It consists of people graciously embracing others and sacrificing themselves in service to others. The kingdom of God consists of people imitating our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, each and every day, who died for them and for all people. The kingdom of God consists of people submitting to God's rule and doing His will, surrendering to His transforming power and presence each and every day. This is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven that Jesus was teaching this group of disciples and potential disciples during the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, for it contrasts with the kingdom of the world in every possible way. His kingdom is built on the rule and reign of God in the hearts of men and women on earth. Now, the big question from this passage is the question of where my heart is. If I could just have you reflect even this very moment on the condition of your heart. Where is your heart at this morning? What is filling your heart? What is your heart burdened by? And Jesus invites us to come to Him and listen to His word speak to our heart this morning. Jesus challenges us through this passage to really think through this question and evaluate if our heart is seeking after Him. Are you turning to the Lord with all that's going on in your life? Is your heart seeking after a real, vibrant relationship with God or after self, after this world? Now, I want us to focus on two words that Jesus mentions in this passage this morning. It's the words heart and the word treasure. The word heart and the word treasure. Jesus makes the following contrast between two treasures. The treasures you store on earth will pass away, while the treasures you store in heaven will last forever. And in this passage, Jesus directly addresses the heart by asking the question, where is your treasure? And he says in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's look more into this word, the heart. In our passage, Jesus gives us an area of focus, and that focus this morning is the focus for our heart. And the word heart here is the seat of our personality. The heart word here refers to where we make our decisions from. For there are a lot of things pulling for your heart, as this is the control center of your life. We cannot forget that. The heart is the control center of our life, the hub by which we make all decisions, where our attitudes come from, where our thoughts come from. If someone was tasked with following you all day long, like an undercover cop, what would they discover about your life? What would they discover about your life this past week? Because how you live your life reflects where your heart is at. And we need to guard our hearts each and every day, folks. Proverbs 4 verse 23 states it like this, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The word picture here is graphic. The heart is a well from which all the issues of life flow out of. And if your heart has been contaminated, if your heart has been polluted by this world, it will come out in the way you live your life and the decisions that you make and where you spend your time and what you do with your talents and with your treasures and with your time. The heart is the control center of our life. And then also the things that we orient our lives around will determine the decisions that we make. They will drive what you choose to do. So let your heart be surrounded by the things of God. Then your heart will make choices based on what God, what pleases the Lord. Now, if we are going to be His disciples, our hearts need to be focused on heaven and eternity. And this is an important spiritual principle that Jesus teaches us in this passage. And today, you can focus your heart on heavenly riches by taking these three simple steps. Number one, will you this day pray? Pray that God would help you desire His riches, the riches of His kingdom. Will you search for God's riches in His word? For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And thirdly, will you prioritize God's riches above the riches of this world? So I encourage you, as you focus your heart on heavenly riches today, do those three things. Again, pray that God would help you desire His riches. Search for God's riches in His holy word. And prioritize God's riches above the riches of the world. The next word that Jesus says in this passage and repeats is the word treasure. Think of the word treasure, would you? What are our treasures? What are we treasuring in our life? Now, the word treasure does not necessarily mean our material possessions. In this passage, Jesus is again talking about the things your life centers around, the things that we plan our lives around and orient our lives around. The things that we act upon, the things that wake us up in the morning and keep us up late at night, those are our treasures, the things we build our lives around. And those become our treasures. And Jesus says the things that we gather on this earth can be destroyed. They can be taken from us and they will pass away. Now, think back to where Jesus is at and who he's talking to. Listeners of Jesus' day would have identified greatly with this, probably better than us today, because, you know, they didn't have debit cards, MasterCards, savings accounts. They had actual stuff. Their precious metals could tarnish, their fabrics could be eaten by moths, their herds could be stolen, their fields could be burned or suffer insect attacks. These things could be taken from them. However, we do experience this today, but in a different way, right? Our possessions can be wiped away by flooding. One change in the housing market can decrease the value of our home tremendously. One bad business deal can bankrupt our companies. One bad car accident can leave us without a vehicle. Our wallets, yes, they can be stolen. Our laptops can have coffee spilled on them. And our phone screens can be broken. But Jesus is pointing out that all the things of this earth that we treasure are temporary. They are fragile. They don't last. And he first shows us this picture of the frailty of possessions on earth, which, again, we are each guilty and prone to treasure. But then Jesus gives us a picture of something much better. He says to treasure the things that are in heaven instead, for the treasures in heaven are so much better than the things on this earth. The treasures in heaven, let me tell you, they do not rust. The treasures in heaven do not spoil. The treasures in heaven cannot be stolen. The treasures in heaven are imperishable, undefiled, unfaded, and they are kept in heaven for you. And Jesus warns against making earthly possessions our treasure. So don't store up treasures on earth. Instead, store up treasures in heaven. You know, later in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, down a few verses, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Let me tell you again, where is your heart at this morning? Here, Jesus is warning against worldly items such as wealth and money becoming so important that we become slaves of it instead of trusting in Him to provide, to protect us, to sustain us. Jesus says quite pointedly, no one can serve two masters. Who are you following today? Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness is recognizing that no matter how much effort we expend to make a better life for ourselves and our families, ultimately it is the Lord who takes care of our needs as we turn to Him and do what is right and trust in His hand to provide. And since God is our Heavenly Father, we will have, always have, enough. Are you amazed? Are you amazed at how well God has provided for you this week even? Praise the Lord. Jesus uses in this passage three examples of how the things that we deem most important are only temporary. He uses the moth, rust, and the thief. And we can all think of examples of these things in our lives. The moth, for instance. We all know that when moths get into our clothes, they eat holes right through them. The moth is a tiny little butterfly-looking animal that doesn't appear harmful at all. But it will destroy the most expensive, elaborate fabric you could ever own. How about rust? As Canadians, we all know about rust. Every winter, the roads are salted, and the effect of the salt on cars is brutal. You could have the nicest car in the world, but eventually, because of the snow and the slush and all the salt that gets on the outside of your car, it eventually rusts. Rust destroys, as moths do, the property and riches we work so hard to obtain. And lastly, the thief. With money and riches comes great fear of someone taking them. So mankind does all in his power to protect what he has. And what does the thief do? He breaks in. He takes what the wealthy man has, and he will do anything to get it. All this to point out, Jesus is saying, earthly treasures are only temporary. C.S. Lewis once said, when it comes to living for God, aim at heaven, and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, and you will get neither. What is the focus of your heart this morning? You might be wondering, how then do I store up treasures in heaven? Well, we get some pretty detailed instructions in other passages in Scripture. Let me begin with 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19, where the Apostle Paul says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. There you have it. In this passage alone, how do you store up treasures in heaven? Do good. Be rich in good deeds to those in need. Be generous and willing to share. Like Jesus told the rich young ruler, give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. You can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead and be a blessing to those around you. Now, only two things last forever in this world, if you have yet to understand that and figure it out. It is people and the Word of God, which shows you where your priorities need to be. Value, I encourage you today, value people over possessions. Value God's Word over the things of this world. For Colossians 3, verse 2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Now, we're often asked, what are you doing right now to prepare for retirement? We should be really asking, what are you doing right now to prepare for heaven? If you're spending more time and energy preparing for your earthly retirement than your heavenly retirement, then there is something wrong. Jesus says, store up treasures in heaven, not on earth. Why? Because the treasures you store on earth will pass away, but the treasure you store in heaven will last forever. Let me read to you another passage that helps us answer the question, what am I to do to store up treasures in heaven? 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 6 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. What an awesome thing to know that as believers, our inheritance is waiting for us. That as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, we will inherit eternity one day. Being with Christ, that is our reward. And those who strive to store up treasures here on earth will be disappointed because those treasures will only pass away. So how do we lay up treasures in heaven? The answer is by living the way God has asked us to live and following after Jesus in all that we do. Our hearts should be devoted to heavenly things. Things of eternal value and of the kingdom of God. And this includes, and you could even add to this list, knowing and seeking after God with all your heart, worshiping and praising God, being a disciple of Jesus that is also making disciples, building up our faith through reading and studying God's Word and through a life of committed prayer, taking an active part in serving the church and connecting with other believers for the purpose of spiritual growth and building up of our faith. Honoring God in all your relationships, your parents, your neighbors, your kids, your spouse, your co-worker. Listen, God wants to use you to advance His kingdom. So watch for opportunities each week to use not just your time, but your talents and your treasures into things that create eternal value. You and I have an opportunity today in this life either to give our hearts to God and receive an eternal reward, which is heaven, or to give our hearts to the world, which will only lead to destruction. We can either surrender all that we are and have to the perfect, pleasing plans of our Heavenly Father, or seek fulfillment, pleasure, status, and wealth in that which belongs to the world alone and that which will pass away. There are so many things which all narrow down truly to loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Will you seek Him above all else today and commit all your plans to the Lord, trusting in Him? As we close, I encourage you again, choose to center your life around meeting with God and seeking a vibrant relationship with God that you might store up a wealth of eternal treasure. Will you open your heart this morning to the Holy Spirit that He may reveal anything that's keeping you from experiencing the fullness of life Jesus died to give you? Surrender your life to God, who has greater things in store for you than you can ask or even imagine, and prepare to be amazed. and experience the peace and joy that comes from allowing God to have the entirety of your life to bless and fill with His glorious presence. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this beautiful day that You have given to us. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for how Your Word today helps us to reflect upon the condition of our heart. And Lord, we ask that You would, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, reveal to each one of us anything that is keeping us from experiencing the fullness of life that Jesus died to give each one of us. Forgive us, Lord, when we have allowed idols and worldly treasures to come between us and a ongoing right relationship with God. And Lord, I pray also for those here that have never made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Lord, may they know today that You created them, that You created them with a purpose, that they may come to know You and love You and follow You all the days of their life. We thank You today also, God, for our heavenly reward, that one day every believer in Jesus Christ, when this life is over, eternity begins for them in a place called heaven, a place where there is no tears, no suffering, no pain, where none of our treasures will ever fade or perish. We thank You, God, for the hope that heaven brings to each one of us as believers. And we pray, God, as Your church, help us to be an ongoing testimony to those around us, a witness of Your grace and of Your power in changing our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.